Welcome to the Wine Out Today podcast, where we support entrepreneurs that take bold actions, clear steps to start a business, get unstuck, or grow with clarity, confidence, and courage. I'm Leslie Kane, a courage coach and founder of the Wine Out Today movement. I created this podcast in honor of my dad, Patrick Kane, who often said, "Why not today?" And this has become a guiding question in my life and business. Each week, you'll hear solo episodes where I coach through common business challenges and guest interviews that go beyond inspiration to teach what actually works. Whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, you'll leave each episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not in this alone. Let's dive into Why Not Today, the podcast that helps you grow with courage and by taking action. And just FYI, we don't edit these episodes because I want to be real conversations. And so I'm excited about my guest today, Brian Tinsman, who came so highly recommended from my friend Carrie Schramm, who was on the podcast. And every time that she talks about Brian, she's like, "Did you talk to Brian? Did you talk to Brian?" I'm like, "Not yet." So finally, Brian is coming on my podcast, and I'm grateful to get to know you too. So, Brian, introduce yourself, a little about you, and then, oh, a fun fact people might
Sure.
not know.
My name is Brian Tinsman. Thank you for the intro. I founded Pounce Solutions about 3.5 years ago, but I have been in the marketing and communications and problem-solving space for about 15 years. And honestly, never considered a pathway through entrepreneurship. I had worked always as in-house support and leadership within that sort of that realm. But life comes at you, and as things change, it can change your whole calculation on things. And I think that is something that has probably been the story of my life for the last 6+ years. So I'm excited to dig into that a little bit more. But I am a Delaware native. I relocated to Northern Virginia to go to college at Marymount. I thought I would leave many times, but married a local gal, and I've been here ever
In.
since. No, I
What's
love
up?
it. I've made the trek from Arlington out into into Loudoun County. So it's been a process, and I've gotten a chance to do a lot of things in that time. But it's a beautiful place to be, and it's an amazing place to raise a family. So that's kind of how I'm oriented now.
Yeah. So, a fun fact.
A fun fact about me. We have about 3 acres out in Luckett's, and I have a somewhat famous peacock
You
who
know, I think I saw this
lives.
online. Share this story.
That's right. So if you Google Chip the Peacock, you will
Okay.
pull up two things. Number one, there is an insurance salesman in Arizona named Chip Peacock, poor guy. But you will also pull up an article or a series of articles from 2019 when my peacock Chip was on the loose in Luckett's and actually ended up about 20 miles away in Lovettsville.
Oh, wow.
So back then, people asked me, how do you get peacocks? How do you end
And
up?
why do you have a peacock?
Exactly right. And I'll tell you that it starts off with a number of very reasonable assertions. So
Sure.
my wife is wonderful, Kate. She is my local gal. And she, when we bought this place out here, she said, "Oh, we should get chickens." And I was like, "Yeah, that seems totally reasonable. We're out here. You can't get fewer than 6 chickens at a time, so you start out with 6 chickens. And then we have chickens, we should get some ducks." And so yeah, we got some ducks. That sounds great. And then I guess just trolling Facebook Marketplace or something like that, there are actually a number of farms in Loudoun County that have and have always had peacocks. Peacocks, despite being jungle birds, are quite hardy to the elements, so they can survive very cold winters, very hot summers. They're pretty good, and they can live for, I've seen estimates between 25 and 50 years. So
Wow, unless they run away.
that's right. Unless they run away, they are a commitment. But one of the things that I say for people who are more familiar with their American counterparts is that turkeys fly like this and peacocks fly like this. They, like I said, are jungle birds, and they want to go up. And so where we live in Luckett's is very heavily wooded. There's actually pretty much, I would imagine, I've not mapped it out or anything, but there's pretty good woods between here and Lovettsville where he ended up. So my guess is that he went treetop to treetop through much of that. And there's no point in chasing them, because you go up in one tree, they're just going to flip to the next one.
How'd
So,
you catch him?
well, that's probably as fun of a story as anything else. I will defer to my wife on this. I take no credit for it, but She took our farm use Jeep out there and a lady, because it was during mating season. Now, this is when the boys give you trouble. The boys are actually very calm, very quiet, and don't want to go anywhere for 8 months out of the year. And then for 4 months between about March and about now, this time of year, in August, is mating season. And if you do not have a good ratio of boys to girls, then some of them will fly the coop and off they go. And so, you know, again, because they fly up, we had netting. He went through the netting actually while we were out of town. And so, you know, how it became a major story is my wife posted about it on Facebook. A local greenhouse, Abernathy and Spence, shared the post thinking it was funny. And Loudoun Times Mirror picked it up. The Washington Post picked it up. The DC TV stations and, you know, some of the big radio shows picked it up because it's funny. It's a funny story.
Yeah.
There's a peacock on the loose looking for love. And so, yeah, she eventually caught him by taking the Jeep with a female bird in it and then a Bluetooth speaker and playing, you know, female, I guess, mating noises. And eventually
not a Spotify playlist.
That's right. That's right. It's an obscure one. It's a little niche, but eventually, the nice thing about peacocks is that they have that like curiosity of a cat sort of thing. You can put almost anything in their yard and they just have to check it out. So, yes, I think the allure of a lady in the Jeep and the sounds of mating, he eventually came down and jumped up in the Jeep. She slammed the door and drove him home that way. So,
how long was he gone?
That I think start to finish was 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that. Yeah. But it was funny. You know, it was actually very helpful because it was such a viral story. People were aware of it. And so we were getting leads every day. People would take a picture and oftentimes it wasn't, but sometimes oftentimes it was Chip, but sometimes it wasn't. So there are other peacocks that are out on the loose as well at any given time. So, we eventually found our guy.
That's so fun. I love that story. Well, the fun fact I was going to share or thought you'd share is you used to work for the Redskins.
That's true. That is true. That is actually what kept me here initially. Otherwise, I'd probably have gone back to Delaware and never met my wife and never met my business partner, both of whom I met with the Redskins. So
yeah.
At any given time, I've got a story to pull from.
I was with a friend yesterday whose ex-husband used to play for the Redskins. And we were talking about RFK stadium leaving and, you know, what everybody, because I used to have season tickets too, like everybody's seats and all those things. We definitely had a Redskin. So if you've been here long enough, I don't even say Commanders, Redskins.
That's right. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's that whole contingent that will never be able to say anything other than Washington Bullets too. So Washington has really had its share of name changes. And that was my first job out of school was first as their blogger and then running their website and publications and some of their social media. And like I said, you know, they've certainly taken their lumps on the field and off the field, but I can never be too unhappy with them because I met my wife, I met my business partner, I met many amazing people that kind of cycled through there with me. So it was kind of a surreal way to start your career, but it was fun.
Well, and I think that's a perfect segue into what we're going to talk about is like what we do. You think I just did this random thing, but they all relate and they all connect. And as you grab connections along the way and keep the connections, you just never know where it's going to circle back around.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you collect people along the way. That's what it's really about. You know, you'll forget about a lot of the details, but as long as you build good relationships along the way, then anything kind of becomes possible. I can attribute, like I said, not only, you know, my family and my business partner to that, but, you know, it has opened every other career door along the way too. I talk about it less than I used to when I was bouncing from job to job, but there will always be amazing, wild stories to share, from that time in my life.
So. I bet. Well, it's fun. I had a friend one day, we were talking and it's like, you know, if you think about the people you have in your life today, like where did they come from or how far deep?
Yeah.
I literally went to the Outer Banks my senior year in college and met somebody, became a good friend. And because of that one friendship a few years ago, let's just say, There are so many parts of my life, including my dog that just walked by, would never be in my life if that one visit during spring break to the grocery store, him and all his buddies asked us which taco shells wouldn't crack. That was a big pickup line. And never know that random where it's going to take. So.
Yeah, that's funny. And I think you asked me this. We grabbed coffee a few weeks ago, but I don't know that I actually remember when I met Carrie Schramm either. She's one of those people that just pops up in your life, but you feel like you've always known her.
Yeah.
So those are the fun people to collect as well.
I know where I met her because she actually, I spoke at a Million Cups event and she heard my story and instantly is like, we need to talk. We need to be friends. And she's just so much fun.
It's
Lovely.
fun when you meet those people who, again, you feel like you've always known them, but they insist on being friends with you too. That's
Yeah.
helpful.
Always good. So, all right, let's get into the real podcast. What does courage mean to you?
Courage to me, I think courage is a it's a verb. You know, it's action. It's forward motion, whatever that may be. And it's not the, you know, it's a little bit cliche, but it's not the absence of fear or the absence of anything. It's just kind of taking everything that's in front of you. Hopefully you're aware of all of it and still choosing to move forward on something. So yeah, to me, courage is very tied up in what you do.
Yeah. I actually have a Facebook group that used to be the Why Not Today community, and I finally changed it. It's women taking action. Like, we got to take action.
Absolutely.
There's too many people that are stopped. All right. So, you've had an interesting career from the Redskins to your own business, which was not your intention. And there was an EDA in between and lots of different things. So, I always ask people, what are those Why Not Today moments in your career, in your journey, that you remember exactly where you were, what you were doing? That totally changed the trajectory of your life.
Man, I love that question. And it really is, it's stacking those up. That's how you get places.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's in between the ones that you remember, there's a million others that you know, it's the text you responded to, it's the things that you may not even remember but resonated for some other reason. So gosh, if I was thinking back, I think the biggest one was I'm a very much a people person. I'm not too sentimental or mystical on things. So, you know, people make New Year's resolutions or, you know, put a big association with certain birthdays. That's not really who I am. But I had a chance to do it as it just worked out on my 30th birthday, which was I'll share my age, but was about 6 years ago. There were a number of things that were going very well in my life. You know, I was married, I had a house, I had a good job, everything was good. But you know, again, you haven't found your purpose yet. And I think that was just enough of that like slow down and think about it moment for me to have some of those why not moments. So a couple of things that popped up in the next year from there. So that was just to orient everybody, that was July of 2019. And I basically said, okay, you know, I've never been a sentimental guy. I've never put too much attached too much meaning to these things, but I'm going to do that for this. I'm going to really focus on this. And so a couple of the things that I had to do, I had to get my heart fixed. That was actually one of those things that was hanging over my head. So career athlete, had, you know, had been
Physically, your heart.
yeah, physically my heart. But I had always been accommodating for that I was born with multiple electrical pathways in my heart. And so what would happen is stress, sleep, caffeine, you know, any of the things of modern life, I might flip into a bad rhythm. And so what that could look like is you'd probably actually be able to see it on screen. You could see my heart pounding in my chest.
Oh, wow.
There were other pathways, and I learned all this after the fact because you can only kind of assess what it feels like. And it's very hard to describe, especially to other young, healthy people. But there were other pathways that felt more like it was kind of quivering in my chest, and I'd feel lightheaded. And, you know, you can imagine all the ways in which this would hold you back. I had been able to accommodate that through college swimming and different things like that, really manage it. But again, as I was getting a little bit older, a little bit less active in those ways, it was becoming more of a problem. And so I said, all right, I'm going to look into this. I've looked into it before. I've never been able to find a solution. And I actually set things up so that 5 days after my 30th birthday, I I got my first of two heart surgeries that kind of cleaned things up. They had to go back in and find some additional pathways. But if you line all of these things up, there's a couple of things. So 30th birthday, heart surgery. On our, I forget what our, which anniversary that would have been, our third wedding anniversary, I think. We did IVF. My wife got pregnant. I had my second heart surgery in December. In March, COVID started. And in June, we had our first kid. And wow. So you think about like big moments in my life, kind of all stacking up in my 30th year, including becoming a dad about 3 weeks before my 31st birthday party. Not party at that point, but
30th. Yeah.
So with each of those things, it's like, okay, you know, this is my why not moment. This is the, just do the next thing. And so, it actually led to about a week after that 31st birthday party, filing my LLC. Just because again, you've been through so much, you've done so many things. Why not? You know, we never thought we'd have a kid. We've had a kid. I never thought I'd get my heart fixed. My heart is fixed. What's the next thing? Well, you're home. You're stuck at home. You've got ideas buzzing around your head. You've got friends who are reaching out who are in worse situations than I was, you know, other marketing guys who said, hey, I've been furloughed, or hey, I've taken a pay cut, or different things like that. Would you want to do something? And one of those was my buddy who's my partner today. And, I didn't know exactly where that would go, but I just said, yeah, sure, why not? Let's do it. And you so, started.
Yeah, I think that's the story I hear often is something happened, yeah. Either a date, like those zero birthdays I've always found, even if you're not sentimental, there's something. I got my MBA. I wanted to get it by the time I turned 30, and I started my Mary Kay business that year. There, you know, zero birthdays or something. And then, you know, we start something, not any idea where it was going. I mean, you start an LLC, which is pretty simple, although a lot of people think it's a big decision, and it's not. It's pretty simple.
Nothing happens when you file your LLC.
It's pretty darn simple.
Right.
But, you know, and where you had that idea and where you are now, are they completely different? Have they changed?
Not completely different. But I will say that, so I'm a generalist, as it goes in marketing. And I actually think that's a good thing. It used to be kind of a dirty word, because you're not great at anything is kind of what that says. But yeah, you know, my orientation with marketing is around writing and the story, you know, figuring out what is that common thread? Because I think, you know, whether you go back to people sitting around a campfire and telling stories to each other, people think of things linearly. They want to think about people that way. They want to think about organizations that way. And so figuring out exactly what your story is and do the dots connect? Are there any big gaps in it? That's always been my superpower as far as marketing is concerned. And then, you know, aligning that with strategy. Everyone jumps to sort of the channels and the ways that you promote things, but that's the last step. If you've done your homework up front, all of that stuff should be, relatively easy, relatively easy. So, you know, for that, it was, and that was another reason why I didn't think that I was, well equipped to start my own business, to be a marketing person, because I looked around and I saw these graphic design firms and these videographers and, you know, SEO people or some piece of it that people were dominant at. Right. But the reality is that between the Redskins and B'nai B'rith International and Loudoun Economic Development and, oh, by the way, moonlighting for CBS Radio and a few other gigs and jobs that I'd had along the way, I knew a lot of things about a lot of things. And I knew great people who knew even more than I did in some ways. So
a great skill.
Yeah, right. So, you know, you look at the evolution of kind of where you start and where you go. For me in particular, totally bootstrapped. I'm the breadwinner in my family. And so you don't do good work, you don't eat. So that's number one. And that's a different calculation than I think a lot of people in this area tend to make. But it's what I found is that it really pushes your creativity to the limit because you have to figure it out. And so there's this whole problem solving element to it as well. I've always felt like when I was in-house with marketing, that marketing is the connective tissue of an organization because it touches so many things. You need to hire somebody, that's marketing. You need to talk to your customers or go find new customers, that's marketing. And so there's so many conversations that I was dragged into earlier in my career that I was like, why am I here? This has nothing to do with me. And then you learn something. And so it's the same thing when you pick up clients. And the nice thing about working for lots of organizations is that you get to see lots of things. And you get to, every now and then you start out after the call, you know, kind of going, well, I was thinking about this earlier. Somebody gets excited about it. And all of a sudden you start raising your hand in conversations. And I will always caveat, I'm not a financial guy. I'm not a legal guy. I'm not your HR guy. But here's something to think about. And sometimes that connects dots for people that they go check it with the people that they need to, those heavily regulated industries, go talk to your experts. But have you ever considered doing something X, Y, or Z? And so, I think what we found, the difference between day one and where we are now, is that I put a lot more emphasis on problem solving, that there are just things that come up in the course of running an organization, whether that's a nonprofit, a for-profit, even a government agency, that if you've never thought about it, you've never encountered it, then you may not. And so that's one of the ways in which I can help. The other one is that, again, I had a brief stint with an international nonprofit, and the first client that we picked up in Northern Virginia was the Loudoun Education Foundation, and I will be forever grateful to them. We still work with them today. But, okay. I didn't think that nonprofits were going to be where we stuck. I figured, again, that it was two sports guys that were starting this, that we had sort of those corporate connections, that would be where our best client base was. But it really is nonprofits. And I think there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, nonprofits really thrive on the story. They are telling a story to their donors, both in order to inspire them to do things, but also to tell them how it went. And that's something that nonprofits often forget. So that's where we are especially impactful, is to say, because of your support, we were able to do these things. And then, it's a big love fest, people. It's giving a big hug to your donors. I think that's probably the biggest difference, is just, again, you go in with the mandate of, I need to pay the bills. And so you take on a lot of work and you kind of see what works, but it was the nonprofits where it's just been an amazing fit. And so we love that. And it's really rewarding work too.
Yes, I can understand working in nonprofits, how much it is. And, I love how you said you just had to get to work and do good work because you had to pay the bills. But I think I mentioned this when we talked. I had somebody ask me why I was successful with my Mary Kay business, and this guy asked me why his wife wasn't as successful as I am. I'm like, because I have to pay the bills and I don't work. I don't eat. He was paying her bills. And so a lot of people, I think, do start businesses as a side hustle and don't take it seriously because they have another job or they have somebody else supporting them. They just kind of playing and they're not playing full out. Have you read the book yet? 10 times is better than 2 times.
Ooh, no, I haven't, but I will agree with it right off the bat.
Yeah. And then I think Benjamin Hardy, I think is his name, but he just wrote another one called Scaling. And he talks about, you got to think big, you got to think impossible, or you're not going to make it. You're going to play small. Like, we got to play big.
You got to play big. You need that reason. I'm a guy, I'm a night owl, by choice. And, but when you have kids and you kind of figure out, like, when I get to the end of the day, am I exhausted? Yes. Do I do my best work when I'm exhausted? No, I don't. So I really flipped my whole schedule around on this. And I started getting up, sometimes at very crazy hours, but I would say most days I'm up and active by 4:30. And because I need a few hours before I hear the pitter patter of feet above me.
Get stuffed up.
Yeah, right. And so if I'm going to get deep focus time, then that's when it has to be. And I wouldn't do that if I didn't have to. That would be, I'd get up and kind of cruise into the mindset of work and check my email and not get anything done until 10 or 11. So you do it because you have to.
Yeah, and you make it work. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about kind of the messy middle or some of the hard questions in business ownership. What do you wish you would have known before you started?
I'll flip that around for just a second and say there's a lot of things I wish I'm glad I didn't know.
That was my next question.
Yeah. Yeah. I would, you know, that there's one thing that's very challenging from a business perspective, I think, especially when most people come in as a subject matter expert. So for me, I'm a marketer. That's my identity. And so there isn't, things are actually getting much better. I mean, there are some software stacks that have gotten really good where you can kind of see, you know, your finances. I always pick on finances because they're the thing that scared me the most, but, you know, that where does the money come in? What's the cadence on it? You know, where does it go? How much do I need to set aside for taxes? That's one of those things that's very challenging to ask anybody, even somebody that you're paying to do that, even someone who's, you know, managing your books or something like that, is that to have the cleanest answers for you doesn't, there's no way to kind of download your brain into it. And so that's, I think just knowing how challenging that is, even now that I've wrapped my arms around it, I'm glad I didn't know that. That being said, things like, you know, I use QuickBooks and that whole stack with TurboTax and everything else has gotten really good. So there are solutions out there, but if you worry about things like that, like I do, then it's reason to worry.
I had somebody on my podcast recently and he said, if you don't want to personally grow, then do not start a business. Because you will be stretched, you will grow, you'll have to learn stuff. There's tough stuff you just got to figure out and you have no idea all the things.
And that's the thing too, is that, you know, again, especially if you're bootstrapping, especially if you don't have that, you know, safety net of a second income or something like that, whether that's you or somebody else in the household, you have to figure that out for free. You're going to spend a lot of time on that just out of the gate. But the good news is that once you learn it, it's actually not that scary. No. You know, all of these things, it's figuring out what the formula and the cadence of these things are.
And these days, there's so many resources to help you find out answers to things.
Yeah, exactly. And,
you know,
and
there's YouTube, there's chat, there's Google, there's people, there, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So and I came from, you know, again, coming from the economic development world, you know, primarily here in Northern Virginia, there are great economic development organizations that are pulling together additional resources as well. So whether that's, you know, the small business development centers through George Mason, or whether that's, you know, CareerWorks or the networking that you and I have talked about, you know, there's amazing things that are happening, and there's a great opportunity. Chambers of Commerce have been a game changer for me as well. Again, just get out there and tell people about things. I think that was the other thing too, is that, you know, I really believe now, I've always been a little bit of a wing it guy, but I really believe that if you wait until you figured it out, you've waited way too long.
Oh, no.
So you just have to, if you have most of a plan, I'm not going to say exactly what that percentage is, because that will vary a little bit depending on what you do. But if you have a pretty good idea, do it, because... Oh. The other thing is that you have to practice it. You're probably wrong.
Right. Well, that's what I found with interviewing so many people. My business, plus talking to so many people, is, you know, to start, you got to start imperfect. You just got to start. And the people that think it's all got to be perfect and all their ducks in a row and everything perfect, they're still not starting.
Right. Right. You know? Because if you've waited that long, then you've definitely waited too long. But, you know, just how rough was, in retrospect, how rough was your first podcast?
Well, I had somebody, my sister, of course, corrected me. I had somebody the other day that I randomly met and he listened to it. He's like, "You're so much better now." I'm like, "Yeah, I hope so after 100 and some episodes." But yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it gets better. I, you know, with my Mary Kay career, I said, you know, God help the first person I put products on. They probably looked horrible. You know, you got to practice. We all got to start somewhere. You don't arrive. And the same thing with the business.
Yeah, exactly. And finding the real value in good enough and working with people who, because again, good enough is not good enough for everything. So, but just, you know, again, setting clear expectations, setting clear boundaries, and really working with people there too. The other thing that's kind of surprising in starting a business, I think, and maybe this is not the case for everybody, but, there's always an interesting mix of the people that, like, when you're putting together a business, you say, "Oh, I'll talk to that person. They'd hire me." And in many cases, they don't. And it's sort of these random connections and acquaintances who do. You know, again, I'll love on the Latin Education Foundation a little bit better, a little bit more. That started as lunch between me and, you know, a sort of friend, but somebody that I knew, but who knew the quality of my work. And that's really what shined through. It wasn't, you know, some friendship or some ace in the hole. And, you know, God bless it if you have those people who can pay your bills. But, you know, again, when you get out there and you kind of have a plan, just you got to be really flexible to say, yeah, I think I could do that, and just work with people to make sure that you're meeting expectations. But also, it's not always the people that you think will step up to the plate to support you.
Absolutely.
And it's other people that you'd never expect, which is great.
Yeah, and I think the people that you think will step up, they know you.
Mm-hmm.
The goods and the bads. And I think also... yeah. When I've taught people this all the time, if you're starting something new, often we go to the people we know and say, I think I might start. Would you support me? Well, you're not all in. So they're not all in.
That's
so
right.
You go to a stranger and say, I'm starting this business. You're not halfway in, even though you may not know what you're doing. They see the confidence. But when you're like, maybe sort of, nobody's going to buy into that. They're like, no, nah. You know?
And yeah, it's true.
Just talking about people and character, and you know, somebody that knew you and knew the quality of your work referred you. And I think I pay a lot of attention to if people like refer me to somebody. And we were talking about this earlier with Carrie. She's like, you got to meet Brian. And like for months, she's like, you got to meet Brian. I'm like, okay, I'm going to meet this guy, Brian. I felt like when the first time I met you, I had to like bow to you or something.
Oh, geez.
but you know, just trusting your gut. And trusting the people that you know well and know who they are and trust their character, that they're going to refer you to somebody good. And just, I did a podcast episode, which I think I'm going to repost. It was the Wine After Day scavenger hunt. Like just being open to who those people are that you meet, you just never know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to connect a couple threads that you put out there. Number one is I think it helps to have a group around you that you can trust and that you can go to.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know that I can say financially, I would not have been able to make that jump from like the corporate world where I was sort of overburdened over here with a family and make that full time if I did not have a business partner. So if you are building something that works that way, partnership is amazing. The other thing is that you can have your advisors that you can be sort of vulnerable with and say, hey, I don't know if this makes sense. Not that you ever need to say that out loud. People will tell you if it doesn't make sense, but you know, that you have that like trusted sounding board a little bit, and that separately over here, you can be a little bit more polished. Because I'll say again, having not been a huge networker before, I was always sort of the, my role in the corporate world was a little bit of the wizard behind the curtain. You know, that I'm here to make other people look good. And so I was not a master networker. I did not have that schmooze in me, and I probably still don't. But
you're a cool person, and that's what it takes. You don't need to have that schmooze.
No, I don't think networking should be like that at all. No. But I will say that if you don't have that where you're used to talking about yourself, that's a new thing when you launch your business. And so getting out there and being able to have, again, whether it's a chamber or some other, you know, your networking group, Leslie, it helps to be able to just, let me try that elevator pitch again. Let me try it a little bit differently this time. Oh, their eyes lit up when I said that thing. Let me try that on somebody else. And just, you know, it's really, you've got to refine this thing over time. And that's a big change. One other, and just to kind of use Pounce as an example there, you know, when you launch, you need that why story. And I don't think we had a great one, but I'll tell you what it was. It was that, again, both my business partner and I were coming from the corporate world. We had worked together in sports. I went the nonprofit and then economic development side. He went to an agency first and then to the corporate side and was working for, you know, a major physical therapy clinic. And so for both of those angles, we had dealt with other outside agencies that would come in and work for us. And we're always very unimpressed with what we got back and the pricing of it and the way that it was handled. And there's just a lot to hate about marketing agencies, which is unfortunate. And that's why we never call ourselves an agency, because we're trying to do something different here. But you can't, you know, so that's where we started out, is kind of describing what we're not. And I think the mistake in that is that it doesn't answer what you are, number one. And number two, it's insider baseball. You know, I'm sure that you would, you know, from your Mary Kay days, you'd be able to describe how you're better than department stores or any of the other services or even any other Mary Kay folks. But that's not a great way to describe how
I would never describe better.
Yeah,
I would exactly. say this is why we're different.
Yeah, right,
but
right.
Not better.
Right. And so that really, we needed to kind of figure out again what that process looked like. And I'll just share this too. I mean, totally candidly, you know, everything about what I, you know, I needed to make the home payments every month. So our backs were against the wall at times. And it was during those times that we had the light bulb moments to say, okay, actually, I think nonprofits are the perfect line and we should run after those. And then, you know, that takes a little bit of time once you decide that. So again, it's always just, you know, in starting the business, I always thought about it in terms of that financial runway. And can I always, how many months in a row did I pay my mortgage? And how many months do I have left? And if I can always project out even that far and just say, hey, I've got a runway to keep going at this, then I know I don't have to go back to the corporate world. And that's,
People have always asked, like, cause I left my corporate job 25 years ago. So I've been on my own for a long time. And people always ask, doesn't that scare you that you're working for yourself? I'm like, no, it scares me more to work for somebody else that can pull the rug out and I have no control. I need money. I know how to work. And I know, like, several years ago, my brother gave my mom a trip to Italy, but paid for her. But she's like, who's going to go with her? I'm like, I'll go. And this was a end of July decision. And we were on an airplane in October, and I hadn't saved a penny to go to Italy, but qualified for a new car and saved the money. And, you know, you got a goal, you get it done.
That's right. Exactly right. And that you can do that. You know, that's the difference between the corporate world where you're, you're making
somebody
money.
Else, somebody you basically else. Have a fixed income.
That's right.
All over. So I want to circle back to something you said was in talking about having a network around. Somebody had on the podcast recently talked about, describe that as lateral mentors. That you can bounce ideas. And one of the things I'm doing now with Why Not Today is I started a Women Taking Action Inner Circle for business owners, women business owners. And some, I actually have a couple of people that are looking, starting a side hustle to leave corporate. One woman just retired at six early, young, but she's like, what's next? I'm not done. But to have people to bounce ideas off, like, you know, how do you find this out? Or how do I do this? Or what do you think of this? Or I'm just having a bad day. Or, you know, somebody to celebrate your wins.
Yes.
Because it can get so lonely. And, you know, not just, you know, to be there if you need some help, but to celebrate your wins, to say, yay, I made it another day. Because there's a lot more, I think, bad things that happen than good things as an entrepreneur. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And depending on how you're oriented. There's a lot of ups and downs.
Right. You'll remember those. So.
Yeah, they're not deal breakers. Well, I think we could talk forever and ever. So we'll have to have you on again. But I always try to tie back to my podcast, my dad. That's the reason it started. So many things. One, he was a planner. So he was all, I didn't know what EDA was, but it was in our vocabulary. So talking about going to a networking event on technology. Those terms I didn't know, but EDA kind of things I do. I know one of the nonprofits you're working for is ARC. And my dad was instrumental in starting Gabriel Helms, which is a nonprofit for people with disabilities that started when my sister was born. And then talking about Night Owl, he was a night owl and he never shifted, but he was there for soccer practice and swim team and all those things. And then after work, or after dinner, which he always had dinner with us, he would go, he had an office, not at home, and then underneath the garage. And, you know, dad was sitting out there, his feet on the desk and a pipe in his mouth and working till who knows when at night. But then, you know, talking about the ups and downs of breadwinner, there were six of us kids and my mom did not work most of those years. And, you know, I didn't notice it, but my mom has told me since that, yeah, there were some ups and downs. She goes, it always happened right around my birthday. I was the oldest, that somehow they didn't have money. You know,
Right.
things didn't get paid. And it was like, but it always got figured out. And he always figured it out. And not only that, but I found out years later that so many people he was able to help out and give back to and do things kind of on the sly that you just never know. So.
I think that's amazing, and obviously I'm a big fan of your dad's and the legacy that he left. But I think that's such an important piece of it too, is find ways to give back, because you know that when you're doing it again on out of your own again, whether you're donating your time or your money or anything else, I think that is such an important linkage within entrepreneurship, is that. That there are the times when you can step up and be a leader in some way, that you can save somebody's day, save somebody's organization, save something. You can change a life in some way, and that's
Yeah, and it's not always, you know, people talk about giving back as money, but it's a time, treasure, and
and
wisdom,
talent. That's
talent.
right.
That's it. Yeah.
That's
So
right.
being able to give, and people are willing to help. You just got to ask. And I think that's one of the things in growing a business. And with the Inner Circle I'm doing, one of the women in it says she owned 20-year career of owning businesses, and two failed. And she goes, it's because my ego got in the way of asking people for help.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Ego death. That's one of those kind of trendy topics, but it really is important that, again, when you have to make payroll or pay your mortgage or any of those things, you approach problem solving and de-escalation and a lot of those things differently. You approach conversations differently, and so. Again, having a problem solver's mindset, I think, is really important, not only for your own business, but anyone that you're working with too. I think if you can recognize what somebody else is going through, and it kind of connects all the dots here, either provide them a service that only you can do or help them out in some other way. You never know how the threads of life kind of intertwine until you're looking back at it later. So,
Yep.
do the thing, give your time, give it away. Almost nothing that we do is super proprietary. It's really just about being good humans and finding other people that you can trust.
Love it. And then my last question, which you just answered, how would you encourage somebody else? But I think you just did it.
That's right.
So
Get started. That's how I'd
why
encourage them.
not today?
Why not today?
And where is the best place to find you, Brian? Of course, I'm going to share all your contact information in the show notes, but is there a place you love to communicate best or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look me up on LinkedIn. It's pretty easy to find me there. I put a lot of my thoughts and
You're
the work
great
that
with
I'm
those.
doing.
I don't read many, but I do read yours.
Well, thank you. I try to, you know, again, it's I'm not trying to sell anything. I want to get to know people and kind of hear their thoughts on it as well. So, happy to connect. Happy for you to throw your thoughts into the mix as well. And you know, we're out here trying to figure it out. So let's figure it out
So
together.
true. Well, thank you for being on here. Carrie's going to be so jealous I got to spend all this time with you. And
Well, thank you,
I love
Leslie. It's been great.
your Chip the Peacock story. So thank you for that.
That's good. Yeah.
And thank you everybody for joining us on the Why Not Today podcast, your space for practical tools, real encouragement, and courageous growth. Whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, I hope you're leaving today's episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not in this alone. And if you need more support, you can always check out everything on Why Not Today on whynottodaymovement.com. And this podcast is your bridge from inspiration to action, and I'm here to walk with you every step of the way. So if this episode spoke to you, share it with a friend, leave a review, and don't forget to subscribe. And remember, you don't need to have it all figured out, as we just talked about. You just need to take one next brave step. And why not today? Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Leslie. This is great.
Bye.